Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. As many know, I was doing my civic duty on yesterday, working as an election judge. I am grateful that everything went well. No thieves broke in, no fires broke out, that all was well. I'm sure that there are many who do not like the results of some election results, some of the election results. We got to shake it off, get over it, and hold our legislators accountable. If they are doing something we don't want done, we got to hold them accountable. You got to put the feet to the fire. If they are holding unnecessary foolishness and doing unnecessary foolishness, hold their feet to the fire. Don't, as I say, don't complain. Write letters. Let them know. We put you there. We gave you an opportunity. Just like we put you there this time, we can take you out the next time. So understand, everything is God's will as well. So many times we get all messed up and caught up when understanding this, nothing happens without God allowing it to. So if somebody you didn't like won your particular election, again, did you vote? Or are you just a complaint? You got to vote. You got to not complain, just vote. And if you didn't vote, that's on you. Shake it off. Deal with whatever it is for the next, 6 years or 2 years, whatever the time. We just got to give it all to God and keep it moving. Because, again, God will show you yourself. So if you voted for someone who you know is not morally right, that's on you. If you voted for someone that's morally good and kind and loving, that's on you. We have to give it all to God. So today, shake off anything that's bothering your spirit about the election done yesterday. Shake it off. Give it to God. Move forward. If you don't like what's happening, get up there on Capitol Hill and complain. Write letters. Do what you're supposed to do, but always do what's right, because God is in charge. And remember this, family. Remember this, America, a nation divided against itself for my sin. And as Jesus said, a house divided against itself for my sin. We are a house and a nation divided on foolishness. And we're not going to make it another 100 years if we don't change our ways. We're going to become like, and I'm not going to claim that. I'm not even going to speak that, because I know that we are better than that. We will come together in love through prayer. Pray for your country. Pray for your state. Pray for your governors, pray for your senators, pray for your legislature, local and national. Pray. Father God in heaven, we come together praying for our country. Praying, Lord God, that you will bring unity to state houses. You will bring unity to our federal government and those that make laws that affect everybody. Father God, we are giving ourselves away for you to use us for light and not darkness, to help those that are in power see that there is only one God and they are not it. Father God, we are trusting in you that things will work for our good because we are yours and you are ours, because we trust you, because we love you, because we put our hope and our faith in you, God. So, Father God, I lift up America. I lift up our president. I lift up our current legislators, and I lift up those that are coming in. that, Lord God, you will unharden their hearts. You will change them from followers of idols to followers of you. From listening to the rhetoric of hate and divisiveness to the Bible's love and compassion for others. Lord God, help them put themselves in the place of the people that they are legislating for. If they are legislating for seniors, let them put themselves in the place of a poor senior that needs assistance. If they are legislating on women's rights, let them put themselves in the place of a woman who has tough decisions to make over her body. If they are legislating on the health of the people of America, let them put themselves in the place of those that have lost loved ones to pandemic, to COVID, to RSV, to flu, to all kind of ailments, Lord God. As they complained about putting a little mask on over the last 2 years to keep themselves and others safe, that they don't that. As they complained and wanted, it's my body, let them put themselves in the place of women. Lord God, I am, you know my heart when it comes to children. I love them. And I lift up every unborn child to you, God, knowing that they are back with you. Because absence in the body is in the presence of the Lord. So I know that every child that has lost its life through abortion with you, God, that's the person that you so lovingly gave them to. Are not ready to have that beautiful gift. But Lord, you know every situation. You know I wanted my child. But you chose to keep them. And I accepted the choice that was taken from me when I had it looked at. But you replaced that child with the greatest gift I could ever ask for, a wonderful daughter. So I thank you, God. I thank you for my sons. I thank you for my daughter. I thank you for my grandchildren. And I thank you for the children you have placed in my life and allowed me to minister to. But Father God, I lift up my planet. I lift up my nation. I lift up my community, asking you to cover leaders, God. Cover every leader, mayor, councilmen and women. Cover them all from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Cover those that have to make hard decisions. And Lord, remove all the rhetoric and hatred and bigotry and upmanship from our nation's capital. Do not let these next 2 years be stupidly wasted and squandered. Lord God, let people come together like they used to, argue and come to the best decision for America. But we will stand by with you. I stand with you, Lord, and I trust in you, Lord, and I thank you in Jesus' name. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you, that all things are working for good. As long as you continue trusting and believing, Lord God, for you are in charge of everything. And nothing happens without you allowing it to. Let us continue to keep that in our mind and in our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God for his grace. Savior's sake, don't get into any arguments and foolish fights over election results. Again, remember, God's in charge. Not me, not you, but God. So let's get in our word this morning. We are in New Testament. We're on a New Testament Wednesday because I was not able to do a blog on yesterday. And I can say I would not have had time to do a blog on yesterday. My particular polling place was busy from 6 a.m. until 7 a.m. We had our last person put that ballot in the box at 7 p.m. sharp. So it was busy and steady all day long. This was a midterm that was very much like a general election. So I will tell you, people did vote. Lots of people voted. Almost 75% of where I live, as far as my precinct, voted. It was phenomenal. So I pray that wherever you live, that you did go vote. Now we're going to get off of that and get into our word. Because God is wanting us not to harden our hearts. We got to look and remember the past so we don't repeat those mistakes in our future. And this is what the word of God says in Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. One had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house is more honored than the house. But every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Woo! And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, this is where our title for today comes from. Therefore, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in the heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I want to be with God. I don't want to have a hardened heart. I don't want to be in the world wondering what if I would have, should have, could have. I want God to know my name. Hallelujah. I want to be in his presence. And it tells us, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief parted from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you are hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Come on now. There was many who voted yesterday, who did not vote what God was telling them, who did not vote their conscience. They voted what they felt the world needed them to do. Not what God said, but what they wanted, because they allowed bigotry. They allowed prejudice. They allowed, I'm going to get them, attitude, not understanding. Many voted against their own best interest because they did not want to hear the voice of God. We need to, before you do anything, you should always pray. Before you cast that vote, you should have prayed. If you didn't, you don't know what you did. And when you see the result of divisiveness and rhetoric and foolishness, we'll be right back where we were. And nothing getting done to help the people of this nation. We've got to pray. Prayer changes all kinds of things. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? The children of Israel was rebellious. They did everything that they were not supposed to do. They were out there in the wilderness with idolatry. How are you going to be idolatrous with God right there in front of you, going before you, giving you edits from a mountaintop? And instead of Moses, they down there building the golden cloud party over here, building the cap. And Aaron, who was left in charge, the minister of God, chosen by God, priest of God, built the idol. Come on now. And he told them, he gave them an understanding. You've got to know history so you don't repeat it. God, all through the Bible, you will find giving a history lesson. Giving a history lesson. This is what happened to your forefathers. This is what happened to those that were sent into captivity. This is what happened and why it happened. We have got to know history. Don't get caught up in foolishness. History unknown is history repeated. And don't let people tell you, we don't need to know that, because it makes us feel bad. History should make you feel bad so that you don't repeat it. It says, well, who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Do you believe in God this morning? Do you know who Jesus is? And I love this word from Dr. Stanley this morning, what the Bible says about your identity in Christ. And again, for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I say it every day, get this Bible. It is worth it to have in your biblical arsenal because it breaks it down for you. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. We appreciate you, and we love you, and know that you are a true man of God. And it says this, Hebrews 3:1 tells us, therefore, holy brothers, partakers of our heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. This single verse overflows with assurance for the believer. Are you a believer today? First, note that it addressed to the holy brother. This refers to anyone who has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The word holy signifies that believers have been set apart for God. Because of who you are in Christ, God sees you as unique. Neither your profession, your salary, your appearance, or your nationality, you better say it. Only your status as a child of God gives you the special identity you enjoy. As one of the partakers of a heavenly calling, your designation is heaven. Your heart resides with Christ, where your home is. Knowing where your home is means you aren't searching for this temporary dwelling, earth, to satisfy you, regardless of what happens around you. You can rejoice because this life does not hold you. God does. By knowing who you are in Christ, you can deny all the false messages of the world. Many stringent voices will try to convince you that you're not pretty enough, not smart enough, not the devil in us, but your identity in Christ alone completes you. You can add nothing to it, and this world distractors can take nothing from it. The final phrase of Hebrews 3:1 reminds us that Jesus is our apostle and our priest. The first title signifies that Jesus represents God to us. When we want to know what God is like or how God would act in a given situation, we look to Jesus. The second title signifies that Jesus represents us to God. God looks at his children through the eyes of his blameless and holy Son. The commandment in this verse tells believers to consider Christ Jesus. The word consider means to observe or think. We are to observe Christ, meditate on his word, and imitate what we see. Let the assurance of your identity, home, and Lord inspire you to explore new depths of God and serve him with all your heart. You won't be disappointed. Are you serving God today? Are you whining and complaining because things didn't go your way? We got to shake our foolishness and put on the armor of God. Hebrews 3:6, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Those who truly accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will preserve in their faith until will persevere in their faith until the end. One of the hallmarks of a genuine relationship with God is the commitment to stick with him through everything. We may have a mess in our life today, but understand from your horrible mess will come a message. God has got you covered, and he loves you. He loves each and every one of us so much. All he's asking of us is to love each other as we are supposed to love him, to treat each other with the love of Jesus Christ. Don't let stupidity and politics and this one said and that one said and he said and I heard get over that mess and trust God. Hebrews 3:13. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. None of us can progress in our faith or stay true to our Lord without the help and encouragement of fellow believers. In fact, we need this kind of healthy interaction every day, not merely one day out of seven. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Don't talk about the brothers and your sisters. Help them if they need your help. You never know that they may just be overwhelmed and feel like, I can't do this on my own. I need some help. We got to keep God first in everything and watch him work in our lives. Hebrews 3:19, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. There is a direct and clear connection between unbelief and disobedience. When we disobey, it is always because we do not believe either God's promises or blessing or his warning against rebellion. Is your heart hardened today? Unhardened because we got things to do. We got work to do. For the Lord, trusting God today, believing God today, and knowing that he has got us covered from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. All we got to do is believe. I'm excited today because I know that my daddy God has plans for my life. I know I got a lot of work to do, and it's time to get up and get busy. It's time to get up and go to work. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 4. So please turn in your word to Hebrews chapter 4 as we continue in our New Testament Wednesday. We'll be back to normal on tomorrow. And we'll be a little off back into our Old Testament, New Testament on Friday. But today, this word is so today. God always knows what he's doing. And this is what he said in Hebrews chapter 4. Get the pen and paper out because you need to write some things down. It says in step 4, since a promise remains of entering this day, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not because mixed with faith in those who heard it, but we who have believed do enter the rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the work was in its foundation of the world. But he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his work. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. You better understand, God, there's only 7 days in a week, not 8. And if somebody tries to change, and that's the word of God, God will handle it. Don't worry. God's in charge. And it goes on to tell us, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain end date. Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. But if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not, after the God was spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked to whom we must give account. Ooh. Hebrews 4:13, I'm saying it again. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We all must give an account to God when we stand before God and he says, Did you do what I did? Some of us are going to have to say, no, God, and I'm sorry, but it's not going to work because you're going to get spewed out. He's not going to know you. I don't want to get spewed out. I want him to know me. I want him to know my needs. I want him to know that I love him and that I want to be better. We got to be better. And it goes on to say, see then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. But we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but within all points are yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is speaking to us in his word this morning. The question is, are we listening? And the word that came in the life lessons today, and there is what the Bible says about. But the life lessons, let's get into those this morning. as we move forward in our word today. In the life lesson from Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He says, the Bible is not dead, but living. It lives both because God brought it into existence and because the Spirit of God brings its message to life in our hearts. It has God's power to provoke change in our lives. God is trying to help us, to change us, to make us better, to make us discern, to give us discernment and hope in the future. We've got to trust God in everything. Nothing happens unless God allows it. 4:15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus knows what it feels like to be tempted. He is sympathetic toward us. Because he was a man. He had all of our thoughts. He had all of our things going on. He was perfect. Yes, but he felt what we feel. He felt grief when his friend Lazarus died. He felt hunger as he looked around and saw the thousands who needed food. And this little boy with his two little fish and his five little loaves of bread fed everybody with leftovers because Jesus felt the hunger of the people. Don't get it twisted. Jesus came to be like us, to help us. But understand, when he comes back, he ain't coming back to play. Just like he had a moment in the temple and cleaned the house of the thieves. And he told them, and he told us, so we got it in our mind. Understand, my Father's house will not be a den of thieves, but a house of prayer. We got to know, which God are we on? Because God is watching everything we do. Jesus said, I came to be like you so I can help you. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet hardly. Because Jesus knows what it feels like to be tempted. He is sympathetic toward us. That is, he does not feel annoyed at our failures or exasperated with our struggles. He knows just how to move us on to maturity. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Dr. Stanley puts it so plainly, God wants us to come boldly into his presence, not timidly or anxious or in fear of how he might respond. He wants to help us. We need to confront any challenge we may face. God makes a way out of no way. I've seen him do it in my own life. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. And forgive me. But I don't do what I'm supposed to do. We got to do what we are supposed to do to enhance the kingdom of God. Finding confidence in God. Hebrews 4:15-16. God's people have only one way to face life. Confidently, after all, he loves us, has saved us from eternal death, and is committed to guiding us every moment of life. God wants us to live confidently, but too often we allow feelings of personal inadequacy and unworthiness to derail our confidence. Speaking to the choir, that has been me on many occasions. I'm just being honest. We all go through. And it's true that we often allow personal inadequacy and unworthiness to derail our confidence. Been there, done that, got the ooh t-shirt. Help me, Lord. You got to speak it. The Apostle Paul lived through hindrance, circumstances, rejected by his Jewish peers, stoned, abandoned for dead, ridiculed, ignored, often beaten and imprisoned for his devotion to Christ. But Paul continued to maintain a confident hope right up to the very end. How did he manage this? Paul wrote all these letters in jail, going through. They did not waver. He was the biggest zealot to getting rid of them upstart Christians. And he's the one that gave us the name Christian. We were members of the way. And he was getting rid of them because they were seeing his way. And he was not having it. But God, but Jesus, who is the light of our salvation, brought his holy light to that Damascus road, brought his holy light to shine upon Paul, brought his holy light to change the course of a zealous life, from being zealous to kill, steal, and destroy the people of faith, to being the one to build, to create, to guide, and to lead the people of God, and to write letters that are just as important today as they were 2,000 years ago. And Paul said this, but Paul continued to maintain confidence, hope, right up to the very end. How did he manage it? Well, let's find out. When the apostle did not think he could face another day, he recalled one simple truth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. He focused on his Lord, gesture on my head. Great is your faith on me. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Lamentations 3:23-24. The classic hymn, which I love this hymn. And we need to sing more hymns in our churches. We need to go back to the basics. So many times we want to sing what's new, when sometimes what's old is what gets you through. And it says the classic hymn, great is thy faithfulness, expands on this important idea. Next time you sing it, don't miss the wonder of it. God is faithful and does not change. Hebrews 13:8. In this one truth, we find our reason for hope and unwavering confidence. God's unchanging nature teaches us that even when we feel unlovingly, we remain beautiful to him. We can do nothing to change his love for us. It is unconditional and flows freely from his throne of grace. Oh, Jesus, if God decided to change who he is, then every promise he has made would be in jeopardy. He would become untrustworthy. But the legacy of God is this. He loved us unconditionally to yesterday, and he loves us with the same love today and tomorrow. Do you trust him? Do you trust God today? Have you experienced strong assurance that comes from placing your faith in his unfailing love? Yes, I have. Roll the burden of your heart into him, and you will discover that you too can sing, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, our Father. More morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, thy hands have provided. God has provided everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. Are you trusting in our Heavenly Father today? Are you trusting in self? Shake off all the foolishness of the world and put on your armor today, knowing that you are covered. You are covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Keep trusting God and know God is good. And our word for this morning is this. Great is good. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Savior, your love outdoes every other with no competition. You put aside your throne in a perfect kingdom and limited yourself to human frailty. You displayed for me the perfect love of the Father that would go to any length to and laying down your life for me to find my freedom. You called me to lay down my life in love, displaying the length you still go. Lord, what a reminder that brute force and intimidation does nothing for lasting peace. Restoration happens in the laying down, not in the puffing up. May I stay here, knitting into the love and breaks chains and calms every storm. The love that walks the path of peace is not a popular road, but I will take it following you. Your wisdom offends the wisdom of this world, yet it is higher. It is the higher way that always finds lasting solutions. Stone in love. I want to be found on your side at every juncture of my life. Keep me close. Lord, as I choose you, do you choose Jesus today? How can you choose love today? And a word for this morning. What if? Don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. Luke 12:29 NLT. In a word to this, Rock of Ages, you are the boulder that cannot be moved. Who can crack the foundation of your love? Who can be shaken when they stand on you? All the resources are yours in you. There is no lack. God, as I look at the areas of my life that are begging for your provision, I will not be moved by worry. I know that you have more than enough. Let your grace flow into the pathways of my mind, leading to peaceful thoughts that rest in your faithfulness. I won't be afraid when I consider your tangible goodness. I have seen you come through many times in countless ways. Your character hasn't changed since then. Calm the stirring of anxiety that wreaks havoc on my nervous system. Keep me steady, trusting in you. My confidence is in you, the maker of heaven and earth. I don't rely on my own charm. A wit to get me by. You are my advocate and my defender. I trust in you. And this is the word that I asked this morning. What worries you can hand over. What worries you, you can hand over to the Lord today. I'm giving it all to God, and that's what you should do too. Let's give everything that's bothering our spirit. Give it to God today. Let God take control. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. There are many whose hearts are hardened today. We got to shake it off. Let go and let God. And our word for this morning from Sister Carolyn. And this word is so today, and it says, no matter what bad circumstances may rise up against you, none of them has the power to take you out of your place in God. can we talk about nobody has the power to knock you off your square unless you allow it. No matter how difficult the situation you may be facing today, God can turn it around. Have a wait on God when you family. Keep trusting the Lord and watch him work in your life. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that God has got you covered. Don't allow anybody to harden your heart. Don't allow anybody to knock you off your square. Don't allow anybody to take you out of God's grace. You are loved, and you belong to the Father. There will be those that will come at you with all the negativity of the world. Shake it off, keep on moving. Let the peace of the Lord take control of your life and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your brothers. Love your sisters. Love those that are not the nicest people. You got to love them anyway, because God loves us when we weren't the nicest people. But keep God first. Keep trusting him. Keep loving him. And watch him work in your life. If there's anybody that needs as a word from God today, now is the time to push the one on your phone. And now it is your time to get it all out. And I just want to share a little word this morning that I got from a beautiful young lady from my church. And she sends out a little word that she gets you and sends it out to others. And the word for this today is this: he that handeth a matter wisely, handeth a matter wisely, shall find good. And those trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So again, and that's Proverbs 16:20. So thank you, Sister Tracy, for your word that we got this morning. So thanking God again for all of you. Be blessed, family. I got to go to work on my other job. Yesterday I worked for my community. Today I worked so I can continue to do this show. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day. Continue to keep Mother Rita in your prayers, lifting her up and her family, and knowing that God is in charge. Pray, pray, and pray some more for the seniors in your own life. Pray for your mothers, your grandmothers, your aunties, your TTs, your extended family, your mothers in the church. Keep them all lifted in your prayers, because we got work to do. We all know that prayer changes all kind of things. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the word that you have given us this morning. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your love and for your kindness, God. So I lift up families today, Lord God. Families having to make difficult situations. Difficult decisions in difficult situations. Father God, I lift up Mother Rita today, asking you, Lord God, to cover her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet with your love, with your grace, with your peace, with the warmth that can only come from you, God. And Lord God, I ask you to watch over our family, all of us, to our extended family. And Lord God, watch over our sisters, nieces, nephews, cousins, and all of her loving things. Father God, I ask you to continue to bless this ministry, this moving forward ministry, Lord God. For this is all about you. Lord God, let us always take stuff out and put you in, for your word to go forth, for those that hear it to receive it, to not harden their hearts against it, but to be open to receive your love and your kindness, your grace and your mercy. And Lord God, as I get ready to depart from those sisters live and listen later, I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent amongst each other, in Jesus' precious and the holy divine name I pray, over all of you and yours. Be blessed and know there is only one God, and he loves you. And you're coming in, and you're going out. And you're good, and you're bad, and you're ugly. He loves you, and he loves you unconditionally, because you are here, and he created you. pierced apart. We are his flesh. And our story hasn't been finished until the day we leave this earth and stand before him one day. That's when your story is finished. You have time for some rewrites. If you're not right and your heart's not right, and harden your heart, be open and not rebellious. But we know rebellion is a sign of witchcraft. And we don't want to be witches or warlocks. We want to walk in light and righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, family. Thank you, listeners. May God bless you. May God lead you. May God keep his holy light shining upon you. May God give you the grace and the mercy that you so lovingly deserve. For you are his and he is ours. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, a moving forward. It is a wrap. Because this girl's got to go to work. Love you much. Be blessed. Please join me tomorrow. Regular time, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. I will be here if it's God's will. Have a great day. And be blessed. It's a wrap.